I'm Martin Rees, and my scientific area is astronomy and cosmology. And to explain in a sentence or two what I do, I'm trying to understand how, from simple beginnings, our universe emerged and ended up with the cosmic panorama we see around us and of which we are part. How atoms formed, and then galaxies, stars, and planets, and how on our planet and perhaps others, life got started. In doing this work, I interact with astronomers who do observations on the ground and in space, and also use computers and try to understand this vast cosmos where we can't, of course, directly do experiments, but can do them in the virtual world of a computer. That's my professional area, and I've done this mainly at Cambridge University, but interacting with scientists around the world. But in my last few years, I've got involved more in science policy, partly through my role as president of the Royal Society, which is the UK and Commonwealth Academy of Sciences. And this has involved me in discussions of how science impacts on all the key areas of policy, such as environmental science, biodiversity, energy, climate, genetics, where there are issues of politics, economics, and ethics that come in. And I find this a fascinating diversion from my original career, but I realize that if the science is difficult, it's a doddle compared to the economics and politics, where we have to try and reconcile so many conflicting interests. And the other problem which we have is in trying to focus public attention on issues which are important but not urgent. And for politicians, the urgent normally trumps the important, and we have to try and persuade people that it is essential to care about what the environment will be like, how food will be produced 20 or 30 years from now. Otherwise, our descendants won't thank us. And I think when we realise what we owe to centuries past, particularly if you live in a place like England, then we realise that we will deserve the contempt of our descendants if we haven't taken any thought for what might happen 50 years from now. So that's an issue I keep banging on about wherever I can, that we ought to think long term. And as part of this work, I've become involved in issues of education and in outreach of science to the public, because issues about how science is applied aren't just for scientists, they're for the wider public. And the public needs, therefore, to at least understand the basic features of science. They need to understand that science isn't entirely risk-free, but that we can deploy it in a way that maximises human welfare and takes advantage of all the benefits which have made our lives immeasurably better in most respects than those of our ancestors. And we need to ensure that this benefit is continuing and also is shared by the developing and developed world. So I find it's a whole range of challenges which is interesting, even though it's a diversion from the important areas of science where I spent my earlier professional career.